Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 150 years. Truly amazing, isn't it? That for 150 years, God's grace would be a part of this gospel ministry. It's hard to imagine all the lives that were touched and changed by the grace of God during that time. For there were good times, and there were times, I'm sure, when the congregation struggled. There was world wars, great depressions, and even recently COVID. Okay, that all, in a sense, outside of the church played a role in the ministry that God had designed and prepared here in this place. And today we want to give thanks and praise for that grace. That grace that has not only been here in the past, but continues to be there into the future. I know Rose and I, we feel honored that we were just a small part of this 150 years, 12 years. It seems like on the one hand it was a long time, and then it seems like it went so fast. And that here we are in retired realm of life. Once at a funeral, I think it was Bill Grant's funeral, a guy from Gideon's came up to me and said, why are you a Lutheran pastor? And I thought, well, it's all about grace. He says, you can come to my Baptist church anytime, which I thought was a compliment. I'm not sure, but I think it was. And in fact, if you think about it, it is really all about grace, isn't it? So today we're going to take a look at, I call, the four Lutheran theological pillars of the Christian faith. The first one being grace alone, Christ alone, faith alone, and Scripture alone. So we'll take a look first about what is grace. Grace is God's most amazing love, that he loves the sinner. Now, we might not think that's, you know, such a great thing, but it is when you compare also what it means to be a sinner. I think we live in a world today where sin is just kind of old-fashioned, where people don't really want to think about it anymore, but it's sin that separates us from God. We read in Ephesians, you know, if you want to pop up Ephesians up, if you could do that. If not, don't worry about it. You know, that we are by nature dead in our trespasses and sins. But that's bad enough if you think about it, that there's no way spiritually we can restore ourselves and be connected to God. But it even gets worse when Paul says, in fact, we are even objects of God's wrath. Basically, it means that as a just God, we are suspect to hell, to be punished for all eternity. That's the reality of who we are. And I know Martin Luther himself said, it's not until we really come to recognize the depth of our sin that we see then the beauty of God's grace that would love us unconditionally. You know, in our life, it's easy to love people who are lovable, or at least people who are kind. And yet it seems like if there's somebody who's kind of obnoxious there, we can kind of say, well, I don't need to love them. And yet, though, when we look at the grace of God, though, we see a love that God lavishes on us as his children with a desire that he wants us to experience his love and live in his love for all eternity. I think of the woman of the well, you know, a Samaritan, a woman, which in Jesus' day was not to be approached by men, and yet Jesus would approach her and ask for a drink of water. In the conversation, you know, Jesus revealed to her that, wow, you've had five husbands, and now your sixth one you're living with isn't your husband. And she tried to change the subject about where they should really worship, but the reality was, is she soon to discover a living water that she would not thirst anymore, a living water that would be something that she wouldn't have to go to this well again. And yet we know that living water was forgiveness, wasn't it? That Jesus, in his love for her, would give her living water, the living forgiveness and sins which gives life and salvation. Her life was changed from that moment. She went back into town and invited all of her friends to come out and say, "Hey, I found the guy who was giving me living water to forgive me even in my past life." We see here, though, that grace, though, in action, right? But yet we can look at Christ alone and come to see then what it means that grace was truly put into action. For God being a just God, it's part of the reality of his just nature that sin must be punished. And yet there's a loving God who loves us unconditionally. So how, in a sense, does that kind of come together or make sense? It's only through the Lamb of God. A few weeks ago, you heard John the Baptist say, "Look, the Lamb of God who comes," what? "To take away the sins of the world." So we see God in his most amazing love put in action by bringing to us Emmanuel, God with us, God himself taking on human flesh, becoming one with us, doing the impossible that we couldn't do, namely living the perfect life to offer the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God whose blood was shed to cover the sins of the world. Yes, it's Jesus, moved by his Father's love, that was willing to take upon himself the sins of the world. And on the cross itself, when he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me?" experienced the punishment we deserved. Objects of God's wrath, hell itself. So that in that mission of Christ, his mission of grace, we too might be released from that punishment through the forgiveness of sins and live our lives in peace and a sure and certain hope, all centered totally in what Christ has done for us in the atonement of our sins. There's nothing we can add to that. It's not just being a good person that somehow we'll get it. No, purely it is his mission that everyone would come to believe in what Christ has done for us. So this brings us to faith alone. As Paul said in Ephesians, faith is a gift. It's not something we can earn. It's not something we can work towards. And if anybody says just have faith, well, we know that's impossible, isn't it? Because faith is something that God works, motivated by his grace through Christ, that we might come to believe that Jesus truly is our Savior and our Lord. It is in that faith then that works in us, in a sense, that connects us to what Christ has done on the cross so that we too may be assured that we are the forgiven children of God. And it is in that forgiveness, in a sense, is the foundation of everything, isn't it? Knowing that we are forgiven in Christ then gives us a peace to know that if things are okay with God, then it's okay with me. And we receive a hope to know that, yeah, future in this world sometimes seems to be quite uncertain with ups and downs. And yet, though, our hope is centered in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because we know with the promise that because Christ lives, we too shall live. A life with Christ in all eternity. That's our hope, sure and certain in every way, centered again on the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We can look at the two thieves on the cross. A beautiful example of faith, isn't it? On the one hand, we have one thief who was laughing and ridiculing Jesus, all to point to his physical death, right? And the other guy, through the eyes of faith, saw the man dying next to him, Jesus, as one who could save him. We don't really know the background or anything, but we can know that it was the Spirit that at that moment created in him a faith that believed in Jesus who could save him. Not from physical death, but a reality beyond death to be with Jesus. And the promise that Jesus made, today you will be with me in paradise, is a promise that is given to all of us as God's Spirit works the faith in our hearts to believe in Jesus, who he is as our Savior and Lord. So where do we find out about all of this? Well, there we go to the fourth point, Scripture alone. Because Scripture alone, God reveals to us that no human reason would ever figure it out. Because human reason says somehow we got to be lovable, right? Before, if there is a God out there, will love us. And yet God has revealed to us that it's not us going to God, but it is what? It is God coming to us in Christ. For Christ, through the Spirit's power, makes us alive. For the gospel is the power unto salvation, Paul reminds us. And we see this in the baptism font, that God himself makes a promise of washing of regeneration as he claims us as his own, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as we go to the altar to assure us again that through simple bread and wine, he gives us his very body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. So now, what's this all about? Grace, faith, Christ, Scripture. Well, all of us now, as we wait for the coming of our Lord, have been called into relationship with him, for Paul reminds us that it's not for ourselves, but that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what? To do the works that God has called us to do. And here we are, all different aspects of life, from retired, which really isn't such a word, especially in our relationship with Christ, to our occupations and all the realities of the things that we do in life, we are to be that light that shines into a world of darkness. To be in us, that people might see who we believe in, that people might see Christ in the way that we live, knowing that people without Christ are what? They're in darkness, and they're lost. And in many ways, even though they try to put up a facade that things are all great, the reality is without Christ, life is a pretty scary thing, isn't it? And it's only in Christ and in the way that God has revealed to us in his word that we can begin to see what it means to be people of hope. And as Peter says, to be ready to share the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's an open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord? We are called to be a light to a world where wrong seems right. What would be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through his love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life, only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's an open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. good. When will we realize that we should give our lives for people need the Lord? In Jesus' name, amen.